Now, are you ready? Here we go. It seemed like such a friendly warning. Did you hear it in the scripture? Did you hear the friendly warning? Did you? I mean, those Pharisees came to Jesus and they warned him that mean old King Herod, the ruler of Judea, was out to get him. Herod wanted to kill him. And they recommended, purely in Jesus' interest, mind you, that he take action immediately, that it would be best for him to just leave Judea to escape mean old King Herod's plot. Seems so nice, doesn't it? I mean, they were just concerned for Jesus' welfare, right? See, the Pharisees were not really Jesus' friends. They simply wanted Jesus to leave the area because they did not want Jesus around. We don't know that there was ever a plot initiated by King Herod Antipas to kill Jesus. There is no record of such a thing. All we know is that these supposedly religious men twisted the circumstances to their own advantage. What they really wanted was for Jesus to go away. And to make that happen, they said what they said. Now, just a couple things to keep in mind here. You ready? You may not like this, but here come the lessons. Number one, know who your true friends are. Know who your true friends are. See, Jesus Christ was smart enough to understand that the Pharisees were really not acting in his best interest. They were not his friends. He knew that they were working things and them to their own advantage. Like it or not, as you make your way through life, you learn that you need to be on guard because some people will pretend to be your friend when in truth they are working things to their own advantage. Know who your true friends are. And number two, do not let other people pull you away from devotion to God and God's calling on your life. Do not let other people pull you away from doing what it is that God has called you to do. See, in light of the warning Jesus received, he could have folded. He could have given up, moved on. And would you have blamed him if indeed King Herod was after him? He could have listened to the advice of the Pharisees and left Judea. And I can tell you who would have been really happy if Jesus had did that. Good old Satan would have been doing cartwheels across the lawn in front of the church. He'd have been happy as all get out. Because if Jesus had listened to the Pharisees, he would have ceased doing what it was that God had called him to do. But instead of yielding to the pressure to fold, Jesus looked those Pharisees in the eye and he said to them, "You just go tell good old King Herod that I am going to keep on doing what I am doing because God has called me to do it." He knew what God's plan and purpose for his life was because he knew it. And he would not allow Satan to use other people to convince him to give up God's plan for his life. Don't let other people pull you away from doing what it is that God has called you to do. And number three, Satan was using good religious people to shut Jesus down. The Pharisees actually believed that they were doing the will of God when they tried to get Jesus to go away. They actually believed that they were doing the will of God when they betrayed Jesus into the hands of Pilate and ended up crucifying him. They sincerely believed that they were doing the will of God, because to them, Jesus was a bad thing. They wanted him gone because they truly believed that Jesus was evil. But though they were sincere in what they believed, they were sincerely wrong. And we need to learn to be on guard so that we do not end up in the same position that the Pharisees were, opposing the person of God's choosing because Satan has blinded our eyes and closed up our ears. We need to be careful not to become useful in the hand of Satan, and even good religious people like all of us can end up there. That day, the day about which Chuck read to you, Jesus declared that nothing would deter him from his God-given appointment. He said, I must keep on doing today and tomorrow and the next day what God has told me to say. For surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem. He was setting his mind on the end. He knew what it was going to cost, but he was willing to do it. He would not be turned aside from God's plan. He would go to Jerusalem, and he would die there on Calvary's cross to fulfill God's plan. And today I call upon each one here present to be so resolved that we will live out God's plan for our lives now until the end, no matter what it may cost. Amen. Now, folks, that day, Jesus looked down from the Mount of Olives onto the holy city, Jerusalem. And as he looked out at Jerusalem, he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those whom God has sent. Does it break your heart? Do you hear the words of Jesus as he looked upon that which God declared holy? How often we reject the message of God because we do not like the one he sent to bring the message to us. How often we refuse to hear because we do not like the message which God has sent to us. How often we are like Jerusalem. We refuse to receive God's anointed. We will not hear God's message. Jerusalem even rejected perfect Jesus. Do you hear me? In their stubborn refusal to receive the message of God, they rejected perfect Jesus. God's people have not changed much. How often we reject the messenger God has sent. How frequently we will not hear the message. Jesus said, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers chicks under her wings. Well, hear me now. Even today, right now as we are here in this place, our Father God longs to gather his children to him. He wants to hold you as close as a mother comforts her wounded child. He wants to gather you as close as the hen does when she spreads her wings to protect her chicks. even today. Our Father in heaven wants to bring you close to his breast and to enfold you in his everlasting arms. Today, God longs to comfort you. No matter what you suffer, no matter how you feel, God longs to comfort you and to give you peace. It is the desire of his heart to comfort you and give you peace. But Jesus said, "You were not willing." Are you resisting him today? Are you? He longs to do it. He wants to comfort you and to give you peace. But are you refusing to receive his comforting word? Do you resist him because you know more than he? And because your understanding is deeper than his? Are you telling God that you don't need his help today because you think you are bigger and stronger than he? Are you like Jerusalem, refusing to receive the comfort and peace that God longs to give to you because you won't let go of the stuff that you hold on to? The injustices, the grudges, the sins. Jerusalem rejected Jesus because she would not receive his comfort and peace. She would not accept the gift of salvation that God offered her through Jesus Christ. Jerusalem would not. But will you? See, our Father is a perfect gentleman. He stands quietly with his arms outstretched, offering us comfort and peace. But he won't force you to take it. If you are unwilling today, he will wait for a while. On that day about which the scripture speaks, as Jesus looked out over Jerusalem, he said to her, "Look, your house is left desolate." He will only wait for the time that he has determined. He will never force you to receive him, but he will also not wait for you forever. When the time of his waiting is over, your house will be left desolate. In the year 70 AD, Jerusalem fell because she would not receive the comfort and peace of God. The opportunity to receive him had gone. And the day will come when the same thing will happen to every person who refuses to receive him. The opportunity will be gone, and he will not call on you again. So do not let the moment pass. Right now, he is calling you. Do not resist him any longer. Let it go. For if you do resist him long enough, your house will be left without hope, desolate. Jesus said, "I will not come to you again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Now, folks, the last time Jerusalem greeted Jesus with those words was on that first Palm Sunday. The day he rode into the city in triumph to the welcoming cries of the people. But you all know that those cries quickly changed. For those who welcomed Jesus on Palm Sunday proved fickle. On Good Friday, the same crowd hung him on a cross to die and rejected the Son of God, the one God had sent to save them. What Jesus was saying to Jerusalem on the day about which Chuck read to you is that he will not return to Jerusalem again until the day of his second coming, when his feet touch down again at the very spot he stood when he said those words on the Mount of Olives, looking out over the city of Jerusalem. Then he said, "The city will cry out, and we will cry out when we see him, all flesh together. We will cry out, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" And even if you reject him today, when that day comes, and it will come, and Jesus' feet touch the Mount of Olives again from heaven, when it happens, his name will sound in your ears. Your knees will bow, and your tongue, out of your control, will proclaim, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But do not wait. Oh no, do not wait. Be prepared now to welcome him with those great words on that day. Receive him as your Savior and Lord, so that it's not too late when you say, as all flesh will say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Can you see him today? He stands behind me now, facing you. His arms opened wide, his hands reaching out, because he would gather you to his breast and hold you in his strong arms. For he loves you with an everlasting love. If you do not know him, receive him today. For he longs to give you comfort and peace.